Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The U.S. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff in Russia today for meetings, trying to get President Vladimir Putin on board for the U.S. proposal of a 30-day ceasefire with Ukraine. Ukraine has already agreed. ABC's Karen Travers says Russia has some questions.
We are now waiting word from Russia about their response to the ceasefire that the United States and Ukraine had worked out earlier this week. I had asked President Trump 2 days ago if he thought he had to speak to Vladimir Putin in order to get Russia on board with this, and he indicated he thought that that would likely have to happen, but he has not spoken to him, as far as White House officials have said.
The Trump administration announcing they've withdrawn their nomination for CDC director, former Florida Congressman David Weldon, just hours before he was set to appear for a confirmation hearing. President Trump now threatening to put 200% tariffs on alcohol, including champagne, against the European Union in response to their proposed tariffs against U.S. whiskey. The market's reacting, the Dow down nearly 500 points. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. On Wednesday night, Judge Susan Crawford and Judge Brad Schimmel faced off in their only scheduled debate ahead of the critical Wisconsin Supreme Court election. Debate topics ranged from abortion rights to election laws to the amount of money put into the race on both sides, as the candidates sought to clarify their own positions while raising concerns about their opponent. The result of the April 1st election will have a significant impact on Wisconsinites, determining whether the state's highest court will remain in liberal control or return to conservative control. The Wisconsin Assembly Government Operations Accountability and Transparency Committee held its first public meeting on Tuesday. The state-level replication of Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency used the hearing to question government leaders over telework policies, use of workspace, and cybersecurity. A number of state officials speaking during the hearing praised the availability of remote work, saying the flexibility has helped agencies attract competitive applicants. Critics questioned the productivity of remote workers. The city of Ashland has begun dismantling the pier at Bayview Park after reaching a settlement in December with the firms that designed and built it before its closure. The pier suffered damage in 2022, leading city officials to determine that it was poorly constructed and repairs were not feasible. C&S Design and Engineering paid $225,000 and the Nordic Group paid $25,000 as part of that settlement. This week, Ashland city crews officially began demolishing the damaged pier. City of Spooner Mayor Gary Kusky is encouraging residents to run their water for the next couple of weeks as temperatures fluctuate around freezing. At Tuesday's city council meeting, Mayor Kusky advised residents to run a pencil-width stream of water from their faucets to prevent freezing because the frost is 60 inches down this year. Frozen water pipes can block unfrozen water from flowing through them, leading to backups and potential damage from pipe cracks or bursts. Turning the faucet on can help thaw those pipes out. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Big Ten tournament action today. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, men's college basketball. The Wisconsin Badgers in Indianapolis for the Big Ten tournament. They take on the Northwestern Wildcats, who beat Minnesota yesterday 72-64 to advance to today's round. Head coach Greg Gard asked if he spent much time breaking down why his team lost at home last weekend to Penn State.
I probably have dissected it deeper and more intensely and harder than anybody else, just because I knew it wasn't one right now we needed to spend a lot of time on as a team. I did, because I wanted to really dissect the issues.
In New York, the Marquette Golden Eagles against Xavier today in the Big East tournament at Madison Square Garden. NFL free agency Packers center Josh Myers leaving Green Bay, signing a one-year deal with the New York Jets. Running back A.J. Dillon, who missed last season with a neck injury, signing a one-year contract with the Philadelphia Eagles. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Very spring-like today, with mostly sunny skies and warm temperatures rising to the low 60s. But clouds start building in and chances for showers and storms spark up in the morning. During the day, highs will hit 70 degrees, winds will be whipping, and strong to severe storms roll in at night. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 44 degrees.
Here's another community reminder for you from 107.5 WLAK. Babysitter training is being offered through the American Red Cross. This is for kids ages up to 15 years old. It's Saturday, March 15th, from 9 a.m. to 3:45 p.m. The cost is $45. You can pre-register through Amory Community Education. Deadline to register is March 13th at 8 a.m. Another community reminder for you from 107.5 WLAK.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Maggie Dawn.
At 2:30, we'll be joined by Chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, Ben Wickler, to talk about the people versus Elon Musk, our billionaire overlord. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Quarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allbaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Allbaugh, along with our outstanding producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Thursday, March 13th, 2025. Glad to have you all along here on a beautiful day in downtown Madison. Here on State Street, the sun is out. It's a beautiful day. Going to hit 70 degrees in much of Wisconsin by tomorrow, and then 30 by Sunday. Yes, that's that time of year in the state of Wisconsin. Glad to have you along. Big show today. It's an all-Dan day here on the Todd Allbaugh Show. Zommers, I'm very excited about this. Are you?
Well, yes, of course. We've got a lot of great Dans.
We have all kinds of great Dans at 12:30. We're going to have, I'm very excited about this, Dan Jacobs is going to be here via StreamYard. He is a great Milwaukee chef, of course, and he is going to be here talking about their the great event called the 6th Annual Din Some Give Some charitable event sponsored by Open Table in Milwaukee.
Which is, in case you're wondering, not run just by Dan Jacobs, but also Dan Van Wright. So two Dans there.
Got two Dans.
For one Dan.
But one Dan's going to join us for that event. But yes, you're right. A total of two Dans with that event. And of course, Dan Jacobs involved with Top Shelf as well. So looking forward to talking about that. I love cooking, of course. But right now, honored by yet another Dan, make it three Dans we're talking about today. The one, the only. He's probably, well, he's not probably, he's our favorite, Dan, the editor, the political editor of Civic Media, and also the founder of the Recombobulation Area, the one, the only, Mr. Dan Schaefer, live and in person. How you doing, Dan?
Live and in person from the studios here in the world headquarters in Madison, joining the Allbaugh Show. Thanks for having me, Todd. Always a treat to join you.
Well, I love having you here because it's just fun doing it in person. And we had a chance to hang out last night. We were part of the Up North News event on the election coming up on April 1st for the Supreme Court justice race.
And, oh, is that when that's happening? April 1st? As if we haven't talked right. about it enough.
No, yeah. Joking. Yeah, no joking. But it was really, I thought, a great evening. And I hope that the listeners tuned in last night on Civic Media. We appreciate our owner and CEO, Sage Weil, for carrying that. And for Pat Kreitlow and all the people in Up North News Radio for putting it together. It was just, I found it very educational for me. We talked about education. We talked about the economy. We talked about reproductive rights and then the election at large. And then we had a watch party for the actual Supreme Court race. It was quite an evening.
It was. And, you know, I love coming to Madison for these types of events because no place in the world does civic engagement like Madison, Wisconsin. It's like, what is it, like a 90% turnout for election, something like that. Yeah. And, you know, so many people showed up to this event. It was really a great one and got to, you know, interact with the crowd a little bit as I started my panel asking people if they were registered, if they'd been voting. a lot of people are ready to vote, ready to get out there for this one.
And I guess I take it a little bit for granted having, I mean, I grew up an hour from here in Richland Center, and so we come into Madison fairly frequently, but now having lived here the better part of 20, 25 plus years, when there are events like this, I guess I just take for granted people are going to show up. And I mean, I don't want to overstate it. There were at least 100, 150 somewhere in there.
Easily. Yeah,
folks
yeah.
That showed up in person right across the street at the Overture Center. And I just found it interesting you saying, you know, this is not necessarily the norm in other places around Wisconsin.
Right. Or anywhere in the world. Like Madison, no place in the country votes and gets out and gets after it quite like Madison does.
And it was super cool because there were a couple of young people, I would say, in high school that showed up last night as well. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really cool that their parents brought them. And they weren't just sitting there on their phones. They were engaged and listening the entire time.
Yeah. People, you know, I think there was some sort of connection with like a Voters of Tomorrow type of group and all of that. And you know, the youth vote in this election is going to be important because it's not a presidential race, but turnout is such a factor. You know, we're only going to get what, like half to two thirds of a turnout of what a presidential year is. And that's really going to matter if young people show up to the polls too.
Yeah. We could talk a little bit more about that as the half hour goes on here, but let's get to the second part of the evening. And that was the actual debate between Judge Susan Crawford and Judge Brad Schimel, both running for Supreme Court on the April 1st ballot. When you and I were standing there for most of it, watching it together with this group at the Overture Center that came for the Up North News event, I was struck by a couple of things. I said this to you after the debate. Of all the debates I've seen, and I'm a pretty tough critic because I've prepared candidates from congressional races on down for a number of years, but I thought last night's debate, from a moderator standpoint, they kept it in control, but they kept it moving. And quite frankly, from both candidates giving real answers, I thought it was one of the better debates I've seen at any level for quite some time.
Yeah, I thought it was really well run. It was substantive. They touched on a lot of different issues. It didn't get bogged down in some sort of like personal jabs really between the candidates or anything like that. I would recommend that people take the time to sit down and watch that one if you still have questions about this debate. I also think Judge Susan Crawford, I thought she did a terrific job. And
yeah,
I think,
too.
I thought she was really in command throughout the debate and was kind of put Schimel on the defense. But you know, I think there were some points where he was really reeling to try to scramble and you know, there were some points that he just outright dodged the questions. There were some points where he seemed to be kind of backpedaling on a certain number of questions as well. But I thought, you know, with Crawford, like, she's the candidate who's not as well known in this race. Schimel has been the attorney general. Mm-hmm. This is now the third time that he is running for a statewide race. Wisconsin voters know him more than Crawford. And we saw that in the Marquette polling last week when it was, you know, somewhere around 40% of people don't have an opinion on Schimel. And it was something like 60-65% on Crawford. And so for the people who are getting to know Susan Crawford, you know, as we get to crunch time here in this race, I think this is a really great window for people to understand the type of candidate that she is, the background that she has and the type of approach she could bring to the bench on the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Yeah, I mean, I went into this concerned for her only from the standpoint for the things you said, that Schimel's been a statewide candidate, a statewide office holder. He's gone through this before, and it can be very intimidating for anyone who hasn't gone through that stuff before. And we haven't, I mean, I know you've seen her, you've been everywhere as reporting this for Civic Media and for the Recombobulation area. You've seen her in person. I am not, mm-hmm. I mean, not in person, but you know, you have. But my point is, I haven't seen her in a long form setting like that.
Yeah, we've had her on the airwaves on a number of different shows across the Civic Media Network over the past few months. And, you know, there's also been some kind of like live and in-person events that she's been speaking at. And I think she's starting to hit the groove with mm-hmm. her campaign right now. And I was at an event last week in Milwaukee at the Rotary Club of Milwaukee that put on in partnership with the Milwaukee Press Club. And, you know, that was an interview that I thought she did really well in. It was also Matt Smith who moderated last night's debate on WISN 12. Emily Fannin from CBS 58 was there. So it was like real questions from real journalists. I also saw her at an event with Derek Mosley at Marquette University Law School. And I thought that one at the Rotary Club that she had last week, things seemed to really start to click into place for her. She was in command of the room. She was answering the questions well. And I think that was the version of Susan Crawford who showed up for that debate last night. Very well prepared.
Yeah.
You know, there were points where you know, Schimmel didn't quite have an answer for things, and Crawford was just right there with something ready to say, something prepared. So she seemed 1,000 times more prepared for that debate than Schimmel did.
No, I totally agree. And I put it in more crass terms. I think, well, it was Zalmer's last week. I said, you know, I thought part of the reason that a judge and now Justice Protasiewicz won her race is because in that debate, I thought she came across as the alpha candidate, that she was in control, that she knew what she wanted. She wasn't afraid of it. And I would say the same thing last night. In the debate last night, I thought Crawford came across as the alpha candidate who knew what she who she was, what she believed, wasn't going to back down, and was well prepared. I'm not trying to say that Schimmel had a disastrous debate, but to your point, there were a couple of things. It was softballs, like, you know, what's the former Supreme Court justice in Wisconsin would you most emulate? And he couldn't name anybody.
Yeah, and it just seemed so, it was bizarre that those questions came right at the very end of the debate, and it's just like, yeah, we'll throw a couple, like, you know, fun questions or softball questions. And the fact that he was like flummoxed by those, it just didn't reflect well on him.
No. And the other question I thought that Crawford really knocked it out of the park was, name a case where your ruling from the bench upset some of your supporters. Crawford picked the case where after Walker got defeated, Governor Walker, by Tony Evers, the Republican legislature passed a bunch of stuff to clip the power, essentially, of the governor. That came to Crawford's bench or her court, and she ruled basically mostly in favor of Republicans because she said, I might not have agreed with it, but it was constitutional. And Schimmel could not name one case in which that happened for him.
Yeah, and there was also the question that, like, just it seemed like an obvious question that was going to be asked in this type of debate on the case involving the 2020 election and the Trump campaign's challenge to essentially overturn the election results in Wisconsin. And, you know, there it seemed really obvious that that would be a question. It's been one of the single most consequential cases that the Wisconsin Supreme Court has ruled on in recent memory. And it had a case where, you know, one of the three conservative justices, or four at the time, you know, sided with the liberal wing of the court. And Wisconsin's Supreme Court was the closest state court in the country to siding with the Trump campaign in its ridiculous 2020 election challenges. And Schimmel just seemed completely caught off guard by this question. Yeah. And like, if you're doing a short list of questions that you're going to get in this in this debate, that would be on it. But he just did not seem prepared for that at all. And Crawford seemed more than prepared. Yeah.
I thought the only gaffe, and it's a small one, but I watched for these things, was when the moderators asked Judge Crawford about a case that involved one of these former sex offenders. And she gave them a perceived light sentence of 4 years. And the moderator said, do you regret that? And immediately she said, no, I don't. And then she went on to say, because I followed the law. You and I both know that's going to get clipped out as a TV ad and it's going to be taken out of context.
Yeah, absolutely. But, and that's the thing. It's like these, you know, having debates about the ads, it's just such a frustrating dynamic because everything is being, you know, because of the record spending in this race, like so much of the communication that people are seeing, like to the extent to which, you know, people are tuning in for this debate, there's probably far more people who are going to be seeing the ads for this as opposed to the debate. So like that is a factor to consider as well. But at the same time, I think there's a number of things from that debate that Schimmel said that the Crawford campaign is going to be able to clip for ads as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like I said, that was the only note I had for her for the entire debate. It was fairly minor. I thought that if I was on a scorecard, which I didn't really do, I've done in the past, but if I was going to do a scorecard, I would say that Crawford was far, far and away the winner.
I think the camp, you know, I've checked in with a couple sources. I think the campaign is really happy with how the debate went last night.
And as Jay Matner said earlier, the far right's only criticism of Judge Crawford was that she didn't smile enough. So if that's the only criticism, you know, she must have done pretty well. What did Dan Schaefer and I talk about after a couple of beverages last night? Why might the Democrats be in trouble? We'll give you the actual sober details after this on the Todd Hallball Show on the Civic Media Ready Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
1849, ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is squat about that law? The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
We're squad about that.
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
We're squad about that.
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
iZurvey is proven to slow GA progression.
iZurvey.
iZurvey or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. iZurvey can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. iZurvey may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about iZurvey today.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
Visit iZurvey.com. That's iZurvey.com.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man.
Milwaukee's best.
It's a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity.
Hey man, what about Milwaukee, man?
It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
I think God would want us to go to Milwaukee.
And it lies between the pit of a man's fears and the summit of his knowledge.
What do you think about Milwaukee?
This is the dimension of imagination. You are now entering the recombobulation area.
And let me tell you, when you're in the recombobulation area, it's even better when the founder of the recombobulation area is sitting next to you. Welcome back to the show. It's 21 past the hour of 12 noon on Thursday, March 13th. Zomer's on the board dialing up the only introduction. Well, the introduction that could only be followed by the one, the only Dan Schaefer, founder of the recombobulation area, and our political editor here at Civic Media.
It's such a joy to hear that. Whenever Zomers plays that when I'm on here on the Alba show, it's such a joy. It's so fun to hear that. It's incredibly goofy, but exactly the type of comedy I enjoy.
It's the ethos of the recombobulation area.
That's
unique,
right.
Well thought out, and based in Milwaukee, but applicable statewide.
Absolutely. We have a very discombobulating politics here in the state of Wisconsin. We all need a place to recombobulate.
Absolutely. Speaking of discombobulating, money, and I know we talk about this across the network in a lot of different shows, but I don't think a lot of people enjoy the Citizens United case from years ago in the U.S. Supreme Court, which said, hey, money is speech and you can't limit free speech. And so pretty much now there are no limits on campaigns, just to cut right to the bone.
Yeah.
And we're seeing this now, Dan Schaefer, in Wisconsin once again. Yes, a lot of money being spent on both sides, but no one individual more so than Elon Musk.
Yeah, and that really came into play in a big way in the debate last night. You know, I think there was a lot of people wondering if this election is going to be a referendum on Elon Musk and on what he is doing in the Trump administration with Doge, which all of the other craziness that he is bringing to Washington, D.C. But, and this was something we talked about in our panel discussion. As well, you know, talking about the economy, talking about the fact that Tesla is bringing a case that could make its way to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And I'm going to read a quote from a friend of the show, friend of the network, Joe Zepecki, who characterized this very well.
He was on last night.
He was ready to go. He came in ready to fire. So he said there, you know, I'm going to read his quote, and you can check this out, this video out that we just published at the recombobulation area as well. So he says, there are rules and laws of political gravity. The extraordinary opportunity that we have in Wisconsin in just 2.5 weeks is to be the first voters anywhere in the United States to send a message that is stop, that's enough. This is not what people voted for. Mm-hmm. And I think hearing that comment from Zepecki and then hearing, you know, hearing Susan Crawford talk about Elon Schimmel in this race,
the light
I think
of the
it
night.
Is really driving. It that got the biggest reaction in the watch party that we're at in Madison. That's for sure. That really seems to be emerging as the dominant theme in this election, because of course there, you know, like there was a ton of spending in the 2023 race with Janet Protasiewicz. There's been a ton of spending in this race, but there hasn't been that spending from somebody who is like right next to the seat of power and changing things. And so if Elon thinks that he can buy, you know, a state Supreme Court in Wisconsin, what's to stop him from getting involved and throwing his money around in every race at every level across the country?
Yeah.
And I think this is such an opportunity for voters in Wisconsin to be, like Zepecki said, to be the people who were the first line of people to stand up and say, stop doing what you're doing.
I couldn't agree more with what Zepecki said. I couldn't agree more with what you said, Dan Schaefer. The only concerning part for me as a pessimistic former political operative is I think that only works if the Democratic base is ginned up and ready to go. Because say this is going to be a referendum on Trump and Elon, I say be careful what you wish for, because you might get it. Because there's a lot of the Trump MAGA base in Wisconsin that is still, because the effects haven't hit them yet.
Sure.
And they actually like what's going on. They mm-hmm. like all the cuts at the federal level because it hasn't affected them. Perhaps other folks who have a broader view of this, to your Zepecki's point, that say this is not who we should be. Those folks have to be ready to go and vote. And one of the most underreported things, and here's what you and I were talking about over a couple of glasses of beverages, which are not coffee, which we have now, is that Marquette Law School poll came out last week. I thought one of the most underreported points in that, well, you tell folks what we talked about.
Yeah, so one of the things, you know, and I have written breakdowns at the Recombobulation area about the Marquette University Law School poll. And one of the things that really stood out to me from that poll was the favorability rating of the Democratic Party. Now, you know, not of individual Democrats like Tony Evers or a Tammy Baldwin or whoever it might be, but people's views of the Democratic Party at large. And that was the opinion, you know, polling for that was really low. I think it was like 30 some percent favorable to 60 some percent unfavorable across the board. And then with independents, I think it was something close to like 15-20%
yeah.
favorable of the Democratic Party. Like the party has some real, real deep challenges. And I think even people who are, you know, vote Democratic have a lot of frustration with what the Democratic Party is doing. So if you look at kind of the favorability ratings in that poll, you know, Trump was pretty close to 50-50, maybe a couple points underwater. Elon was somewhere more like 10 to 15 points underwater. The Democrats were somewhere like 20 to 30 points underwater. So it was like Trump's not that popular. Elon's not popular at all. But the Democratic Party had even worse favorability ratings than either of them.
And you talked to a lot of people, Dan Schaefer, and some of your reporting. I know you found out that Republicans are ready to go. MAGA is ready to go. And they are doing doors in places you might not think.
Yeah, I think that was part of their strategy last fall in the election to not, you know, to compete in places like Milwaukee and Madison and Dane County and places that, yeah, they know they're going to lose overall and not probably win a majority of votes. But if they can cut into those margins a little bit, and, you know, we've heard stories of, you know, some of these Elon canvassers coming into some very blue districts, very blue neighborhoods in Madison and Milwaukee, trying to cut into those margins. And, you know, there are persuadable voters if you get out there and talk to people. So, you know, I think over the last couple of weeks, it's really seemed like the Crawford campaign has been revving things up, you know, getting Ben Wickler back into Wisconsin and back into the fold, and some of these efforts, you know, seems to be having an impact on that as well. But you know, this is going to be a close, tight race, and there's going to be, you know, I would expect even though we're past the threshold of most expensive state court race in history, like there's no stopping Elon from dumping another $20 million into this over the next few weeks,
and that is discombobulating. But Dan Schaefer, always great to have you here for the Recombobulation Area. You make us feel better. You help us understand it. You can find all of his work at the Recombobulation Area and at Civic Media as well. Thanks, Dan. Have a great day.
You as well.
Thanks. All right. Stay tuned. Another great Dan next. Dan Jacobs talking about a great event in Milwaukee around food and a great cause. Stay with us right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Professional Dairy Producers of Wisconsin's annual meeting is on its second day, which leaves the dairy markets on the top of a lot of people's minds. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and Matt Tranold, a dairy risk specialist with EverAg, is here to explain how the U.S. dairy trade is stacking up in the international market.
Many buyers do not want to own expensive inventory if it does get cheaper. And so I think you did see certain buyers kind of sit on their hands. But today, in the last week or so, the United States had a price advantage for exporting by about 60 to 70 cents per pound. And so that's good enough to get into the Asian market. That's obviously good enough to get into Mexico and some of our closer proximity partners. And anecdotal reports would suggest that our domestic.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Across the line, right side, he'll launch it for three at the horn. He got it at the buzzer to the rim, and he sends it down with the left hand. Right side shooting for the win. Got it! Bronson Koenig! Step back three straight on. Got it! Nice, cold, wanted, Sam Decker. And it's career win number 200 for head coach Greg Gard. Stamps off another three. Booked it! Oh, my goodness! Don't wake him up! Greg Kaminsky, a single-game school record, 43 points. I can't believe I'm going to say it, but here it comes. The Wisconsin Badgers are going to the Final Four.
Badger basketball is on the air. Today's game is brought to you by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Fabic Rents, for all your equipment rental needs throughout Badgerland. And by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the official ticketing partner of the Wisconsin Badgers. Find tickets to Badger games and more. SeatGeek. Welcome to the Badger Shootaround.
From Gainbridge Fieldhouse in downtown Indianapolis, welcome to our Badgers pregame show as the Big Ten tournament underway in this great city for an event such as this. The Wisconsin Badgers ready to have at it against the Northwestern Wildcats. Chris Collins' team advancing yesterday by knocking out Minnesota. UCLA awaits the winner tomorrow afternoon in the Big Ten tournament quarterfinals. About an hour or so away from the opening tip, we'll check in with Max Klesman back in the lineup. Of course, we'll have our pregame chat with Greg Gard. Coming up, Jesse Temple of The Athletic as we get it rolling right after this. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
When it comes to advertising, the landscape gets more and more confusing every day. As a business owner, you've got dozens of choices on how to spread your message. At Civic Media, our goal is to help you unclutter that landscape. For 100 years, radio has successfully delivered customers to the doors of local businesses because we're local too. Local news, local topics, and local people that care about the places we broadcast. That gives your message credibility, and that's key when it comes to getting your message in the ears of the right people. Learn more about how this Civic Media station can help your business thrive. Go to civicmedia.us and click on sponsorship. From right here in our town to across the entire state of Wisconsin, we'll get the right message to the right people at the right time. And you'll be surprised how effective and budget-friendly radio advertising can be. Again, log on to civicmedia.com and click on sponsorship. We'll have a talk and help you craft the message that works for the people that you want to reach.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
This is the Badgers pregame show as Wisconsin gets set for its first game here in the Big Ten tournament, joined by Jesse Temple of The Athletic. I always go back and forth, Jesse, with these conference tournaments because you're judged, fair or unfair, you're judged the following week in the NCAA tournament, but some of the best Wisconsin games I've witnessed happened to be in the Big Ten tournament. If it was 10 years ago, the overtime against Michigan State and the title game and so on and so forth. How do you view these things? Are they, we know what they're for. You know, we all get that, but just for the teams themselves, how do you view these tournaments?
Well, if you are the players or the coaches or anybody on the staff, you're in this tournament to win it. And that may sound cliche, but like nobody shows up to bow out in the first game that they play. It depends on the year, and you never know until the final chapter has been written, because you can look at last year's Wisconsin team that made a run to the Big Ten tournament championship game, had a great game against Purdue where the Badgers won, and we know what happened in the first round against James Madison. I've heard fans say, well, maybe you win one game and then you give yourself an extra couple of days to get to the NCAA tournament. That's not how Wisconsin's program can think, but it just sort of depends, and that's how college basketball is.
And we're all in the guessing game right now after the Penn State loss as to how costly is that? What does that mean for a seed line? What do they have to do this week to still keep their hopes alive of playing in Milwaukee? That's anybody's guess. I mean, you lose the first round here, that's not a good sign, but I would still think they're in a decent position.
Yeah, obviously that is the worst loss that Wisconsin has had to date this season, which we know Penn State is a team that isn't even here this weekend, didn't qualify for the Big Ten tournament. If you look at some of the seed projections, Wisconsin has slipped in a lot of them from a 3 to a 4, and going from a 3 to a 4 could end up costing Wisconsin a shot at playing in Milwaukee. But this weekend is important for that, and obviously for the Badgers to feel good about themselves because they didn't close the regular season the way they would have wanted to. And that's another benefit, I think, to a conference tournament is you are in a tournament style where you're playing back-to-back games, and that's kind of what you're going to face the following weekend in the NCAA tournament, too.
What do you see as the red flag for this team going in? A lot of positive. Their body of work has been outstanding this season, but what's the red flag now?
There's a few different things that have popped up in my mind. Over the season, we've seen games where they've turned the ball over too much. That wasn't really an issue with Penn State. I think we've seen them struggle with certain big men. You can look at the Penn State game. Penn State's big man had 5 block shots and just really completely controlled the complexion of that game in the second half. So we've seen that a handful of times. And if you're going to be a team that shoots as many threes as Wisconsin does, you don't want to have a 5-for-32 game, which we saw. Now, Wisconsin wasn't terrible against Penn State, went 10-for-31. But if you're a team that relies on that, you got to be able to hit shots. So those are a few things that stand out.
Yeah, they're 28% from the 3-point line over the last 4 games. They've missed a lot of shots at the rim, too, recently. So that kind of limits your options. Beyond the obvious, John Tonje, John Blackwell, do you see a player who might be a key as much as, if not more, than anybody else?
Well, these are guys we've probably talked about all season, but I look at the front court because we've spent a lot of time talking about the back court. Steven Crowell, when he is on, can be a really good player. He had 19 against Penn State, and Nolan Winter, too. He's had a 17-rebound game, ended up only playing 14 minutes against Penn State. But those are guys who are going to play consistent minutes. You know they're obviously starters. And so I look at those guys and think Wisconsin starters, for as much as the bench guys have stepped up, they've got to be able to carry Wisconsin here when it gets to the postseason.
This is always a fun time of year. We all learn about teams or players probably never heard of. Do you catch yourself watching when you can, amongst the other things you're doing? If it's the SoCon, if it's the Sun Belt or the Fun Belt, do you watch those conference tournaments at least a little bit just to see what kind of storylines are out there?
Very much so. This is my favorite time of the year, Matt, and the name Jack Golke will resonate for years and years because of what he did for Oakland and Michigan beating Kentucky in the first round of the NCAA tournament a year ago, names that you didn't know existed until they went off for big games. So this is when heroes are made, and that's why March Madness is so fun.
All right, he is Jesse Temple of The Athletic. Stay with us. More of our pregame coverage is coming up with our Badger Spotlight as we continue in a couple of minutes. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
When it comes to women's sports, there's no place like UW. Our women set the standard for elite performance, from the volleyball court to the hockey rink. Every set, spike, and score pushes the boundaries of what's possible. UW Health mirrors this dedication to greatness. Our extraordinary team of doctors combines revolutionary research with compassionate care, setting the benchmark for healthcare across the country. So for the best care and the best athletics, it's easy. UW all the way. UW Health. Remarkable.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that American Family Insurance agents can help build a customized renter's policy so you can protect stuff like this, or this, or even this. Case in point. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
An elegant, intimate experience in fine dining is right here at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge features choice cuts of Angus beef and fresh seafood prepared to perfection over an open flame grill, complemented by an extensive selection of fine wines and signature martinis. A passion for detail in exceptional dining. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Open Thursday through Sunday. Call and make your reservations today.
Wisconsin is home to some of the best educators in the country. The Outstanding Educator Program is brought to you by WEA Member Benefits, proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Throughout the season, we are honoring incredible educators who go above and beyond for their students and communities. Do you know an educator who deserves the spotlight? Nominate them today at uwbadgers.com/outstandingeducator. That's uwbadgers.com/outstandingeducator. Because great educators make Wisconsin proud.
Hey Badger fans, Tony Drake with Drake & Associates, proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. How do you prepare for the big game? You strategize, right? Well, retirement is your ultimate big game. And without a solid plan, it's like stepping onto the court without practice. But here's the game changer. Claim your retirement ready toolkit for free from Drake & Associates. Just text Bucky to 262-600-2782. That's Bucky to 262-600-2782. Our Retirement Ready Roadmap is your playbook for financial success. Let's slam dunk your retirement goals together, because at Drake & Associates, we're your winning strategy for a financial game plan.
Drake & Associates is an independent investment advisory firm that offers different investment vehicles. All insurance products are backed by the issuing insurance company. This commercial is provided for informational purposes only.
Time for today's Badger Spotlight as we hear from senior guard Max Klesmont out of Neenah, Wisconsin, who's back into the fold. He has missed the last three games entirely, played just 5 minutes in the Badgers' win against Washington. So after some downtime to get himself healed, back up and running, you better believe he's excited to be back on the floor.
Just being able to be out there and run around at practice with these guys again, it's been easier on my mind more than anything. But just had to kind of get my body right, put myself in a position to be able to be on the floor and help these guys win as many games as we can here now. But did it relieve a lot of mental stress for me being able to get back out and just practice with my homeboys. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful for our athletic trainer, Brent, Snides, our strength coach, and those people who put in a lot of time that doesn't necessarily get noticed really at all. So give them a little quick shout out. Their work's always appreciated.
Are you low maintenance for those guys? Because some players have probably not been that. How would you describe yourself there?
Man, I hope I'm low maintenance. I hope Brent and Coach Snides would say the same thing too. But I think I'm pretty low maintenance. I'm going in there looking to have a conversation about their lives and how things are going and, stuff away from basketball, things like that. They're really good people, have really good families and and everything like that. So it's easy to talk to, and it's an easy place to go into. You know, some people, some players can be scared of going into the training room and, you know, scared of what they're going to be told or scared to do treatment or something of that nature. But those two, you know, specifically, Brent, make it really easy.
Those are the players through the years, the time I've been here. Mm-hmm. I mean, the coaches are obvious, but it is the athletic trainer. It's the strength coach, because you spend a truckload of time with those guys, right?
Right. I mean, they travel with you to your away games, your neutral site games, your tournaments at the end of the year. Your strength coach and your athletic trainer, at least for us, are always with us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're trying to figure out the best way possible to make sure we're ready to go on game day. So I think, you know, just, you know, treating others how you'd like to be treated and going into the training room with respect and, you know, some humbleness and not necessarily walking in with a puffy chest and you got all the answers to something. But, you know, you spend a lot of time with those people, so it's good to get to know them, you know, make sure they're appreciated, because, like I said, a lot of the work they do goes unnoticed.
Every team is different, but I'm wondering from your perspective now, your third year here, going back to Big Ten tournament, getting ready for postseason, is it a different feel this year than in previous years here?
Maybe a little bit. To be honest, for me, I think it was a little similar to kind of how the regular season may have wrapped up a little bit last year. Maybe not finishing as strong as we'd like to finish the regular season, but kind of, you know, finding our niche and our way in, finding our stride in the Big Ten tournament. It sort of feels a little bit similar, but, you know, I think for the most part, everybody's locked in and ready to go. We just want to get over to Indianapolis, play the game already, but we wouldn't even have known who we played yet, but no, we're all excited to get over there, and, you know, everybody's hungry. You know, it's never easy waiting for the next game after coming off a loss. So I know all 17 guys or 18. I don't even know how much we got. Are ready to go, ready to play the next one.
It's always interesting, Max. You're here on the outside looking in, and I wonder year to year, because you've got the bigger tournament, obviously, next week. But yet when you guys in the moment, it's everything. I think back to last year, you know, your shot that beat Purdue, like in the moment, you're not thinking about saving your legs for next week. It's right. About winning the game, is it?
For sure. I mean, I think that's one thing everybody talks about, is like, you know, how are you guys going to be able to play 4 games in 4 days? And, you know, how are you going to be able to maintenance an injury or whatever you're doing? Like, you only play 4 if you win the first one the first day and then win the second one the second day. So we can't get ahead of ourselves and think about, you know, playing on Sunday before we got the game on Thursday. So I think it's just trying to, you know, take it game by game, one game at a time, not look around the bracket and who's beating who, but just sort of stay in your lane and controlling what you can control and being so concerned and obsessed with the team success and how we can get better 1%.
With all of that, are you or are guys on your team, do they look at the bracketologists? You're like, oh, the guessing game, if this, then that. It's fun. It's kind of a waste of time, maybe, yeah. But it's also fun. Do you watch it? Do you avoid it? How do you view that?
Personally, I try to avoid it. You know, I feel like we've done a pretty good job to put ourselves in the tournament, and, you know, the best teams are in the NCAA tournament at the end of the day. There's the teams who are playing the highest level of basketball are playing in March Madness, so your seed necessarily doesn't matter at the end of the day. Maybe regionally to play in Milwaukee, don't get me wrong, that'd be awesome, that'd be huge, but everybody we're going to play in March, you know, here for the rest of the year is going to be good, hopefully in April a little bit too, but I think with the older guys we got in the locker room, we do a good job of reiterating, you know, it's not worth your time looking on the bracketology stuff, because what does one guy know more than the other guy and more than the next guy and things of that nature? So just like I said, trying to control what we can control, take it game by game, practice by practice, and, you know, move forward each and every day.
You've been in this building before where you're playing this Big Ten tournament. Mm-hmm. back in December, people have always raved about it. I mean, obviously the day went well for the Badgers. Do you like the building?
Yeah, I mean, it was a nice setup. Yeah, I mean, Tyrese Haliburton plays there, who grew up kind of in the area that I'm from. So I don't know if they got any games, if he'll be around. That'd be cool to see him. But yeah, it's a great venue. You know, it gets pretty loud in there. But yeah, I think it'll be a great spot. I mean, you know, Big Ten teams tend to travel really well. So I think this will be a fun atmosphere to the fans and for the teams that are all going to be here.
It's Badger senior guard Max Klesmith. That's today's Badger Spotlight. Stick around. The Notebook is coming up next as our pregame coverage continues. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
The 1849 ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is squat about that?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is squat about that?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is squat about that?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Haller House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Haller House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Our pregame coverage continues from Gambridge Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. The Badgers and Northwestern coming up about 1:30, give or take. Well, those times are approximate when you're the second game of the session game in front of, right, Brian?
I've done one of those already.
The Brian so. Butch, Chris Foster's yeah. special
we
here.
We did have one. Yeah. So we do have some extra time, possibly.
Yes.
We've got one more thing for you here. So, Dave, why don't you open this up quick?
What are you doing now?
Matt, this is Coach Ryan. Just wanted to send you a message to let you know how much you are appreciated as the voice of the Badgers. You always make people feel as if they are right there at the game, either playing defense or shooting a three. No one does it any better. I wish you the best of luck with the rest of this season and in your career. You deserve everything you have coming to you. Thanks for all you've done for Badger Athletics.
Hi, this is Paul Keels of the Ohio State Radio Network congratulating Matt LaPay for being chosen for the Wisconsin Athletics Hall of Fame. It's a great honor for a guy that's not only been a Hall of Fame colleague, but most importantly, has been a Hall of Fame friend. Congratulations, Matt.
I'm Gary Dolphin with the Iowa Hawkeye Radio Network. Matt LaPay was a Hall of Famer long before the official designation. He's a gifted broadcaster and a first-class citizen. Good for the University of Wisconsin on his selection to the school's Athletics Hall of Fame. All of us around the Big Ten are proud of you, buddy boy.
Don Fisher here, voice of the Indiana Hoosiers. You know, it's truly something special to be inducted into an Athletics Hall of Fame. And when it's the university that you've broadcast games for through the years, it's even more special. Because you did it without ever hitting a basket or scoring a touchdown, which makes your induction unique and extraordinary. Congratulations, Matt, and enjoy the moment. You deserve it, my friend.
Hey, Matt, it's Dave Edit from Northwestern. Congratulations on being chosen to the UW Athletics Hall of Fame. It's always great to see good things happen to good people, and especially to accomplish all this at such a young age. But here's to many more years for you as voice of the Badgers. Congrats, my friend.
Hi, Matt. This is Brian Barnhart with Illinois Radio. Just wanted to offer my congratulations, along with many others, on the recent announcement about your induction into the University of Wisconsin Athletics Hall of Fame. So richly deserved. And two things I appreciate about you: your professionalism on air, of course, is unmatched, but also your passion for the Badgers. It comes through in each and every broadcast. Really appreciate your friendship. Good luck in the postseason.
All right, are we done with that, please?
Congratulations.
Thank
no,
you.
No, we needed to get it out there.
Thank
we needed
you very much.
Yet again, congratulations. Yeah. It was a fun day on Saturday, and you know, obviously, when news like that hits, and it's a surprise to to a lot of people. They want to say something, and we had a lot of people reach out. So congratulations yet again for going into the Wisconsin Athletics Hall of Fame.
Thank you so much. Thank you for bothering those guys to
And had the idea and executed it.
That was so. Well done. Dave is, he knows a lot more than he ever lets on. Amen. Let's put it that way. No, I appreciate that. All those guys are good friends and good to check in with Bo. I know we're going to see Bo this summer at an event in Madison. So we're looking forward to that. But all those guys. But that's about as, all those, Dave Ennett's one of the truly good human beings. Brian Barnhart. With Keels and Dolphin, that had
to
hurt.
That threw it sad.
That had
There's
to
no
hurt
question.
For those guys to
no
be
question.
Like that. So I appreciate
and
it.
And I don't want to see your barbell tonight with those guys either. That's going to cost you.
Let you know a secret. Through the years, the Speak 10 tournament has been rugged with guys like that. With age comes an ounce of wisdom here or there. But, it's been it's had bounce back to the next week. Hey, we got a pretty good game in front of us right now. Oregon kind of keeping its distance here. Indiana got it within a bucket not long ago. Now with 3:06 left, the Ducks lead IU 61-54. Indiana, one of those kind of on the edge teams. If you lean on the bracketologist, Oregon in good shape. But Indiana, the Butchie, we've talked about this on our walk over here. They've played really well coming into this conference tournament.
Well, they have, and they've played. The reason is they shrunk the bench. Guys, that you're either going to play hard or you're not going to play. It's amazing when all of a sudden you say you're going to step away. I hate to say it like this, but you don't care. So you're going to do it your way.
Yes.
And that, as head coaches, we know there's people around there are going to give your opinions. When you know you're on your way out, hey, I'm doing it my way. That I'm for sure leaving. One way or the other, I'm going to go out doing it the way that I want to do it. And that's exactly what we've seen. We've seen the rotation shrink a little bit, and it's a good one. Now, for the Big Ten in general, with Ohio State losing yesterday, it would be really helpful if Indiana went to make sure that they're in the tournament. I think that's the biggest thing. As a conference as a whole, you want to try to get as many teams. Right now, I see Ohio State out of the tournament. They've got some good wins, Ohio State does, but they've also got some of those bad losses that they've got on their schedule.
Yeah, it's set up for them. Iowa, to Iowa's credit, who knows, maybe Iowa's a team that does something here in this Big Ten tournament. But Ohio State had a lot of the metrics in its favor. But there have been some 15-loss teams, but I don't know
now. With last night. Maybe if they would have found a way to beat Iowa and then get another one here against Illinois, maybe it would have been. But now I think they're out.
Well, praise here for Northwestern, the opponent for the Badgers here today. What a job that Chris Collins, his staff, and his team have done without 31 points in their lineup, with Jalen Leach and Brooks Barnheiser out with season-ending injuries. And yet, they've played some really good basketball down the stretch. They boat raced Ohio State and Columbus, some other really big wins, and led for all but a minute, I believe, in yesterday's game against Minnesota.
Well, and I look at it, Nick Martinelli, I know he was second team all Big Ten. I even put a tweet out there, or X or whatever we're calling it nowadays. I don't know how he wasn't first team. Mm-hmm. I get it, but the majority of his team, his guys, his starters, missed half of Big Ten play.
Yeah.
Barnheiser, Lee, these guys missed almost half of the season, which means the guys around him just weren't starters. They were bench players that now became starters. And he still scored at an elite level. He's changed his game, shot the ball way more than he did, than he anticipated going into the season. And they find a way to get it done. This matchup this afternoon is one of those unique ones, because you have to match the physicality of Northwestern. They're going to grind it. They're going to slow it. They're going to do everything they've got to do to keep themselves in games. And they've been doing it for a long time this year.
Yeah, we'll see. They have Nick Martinelli is an iron man to begin with. He went wire to wire when you have the back-to-backs. But if you're the Badgers, you're going to assume that they have fresh legs, because they're trying to make magic and play their way into the dance, right?
Absolutely. And we've seen that in this tournament. Mm-hmm. And we have. And you've got to just come out and you've got to focus, take care of what you have to take care of if you're Wisconsin. But it's going to be a grinded out game, because Northwestern is going to slow this thing down.
All right, we'll take our next commercial break momentarily. But first, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. 10 for an ID. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Oregon has increased its lead, now double digits, with about 220 remaining, 65-54 over Indiana. So the Ducks threatening to pull away here in front of, as you would guess, a big Indiana crowd here in Indianapolis. But the Ducks, we saw firsthand how good they can be when they're right, and they look right at this particular time. We'll take a break. More of our pregame shows coming up. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
The big game, family, friends. We know you count on Alliant Energy to deliver the safe, reliable energy you need, whether you're watching the game, cooking your famous burgers, or leaving a light on for loved ones. For us, it means going beyond the expected to make sure we're planning for the energy you need today and tomorrow. That way you can keep your eye on the ball and focus on what's most important to you. Find out more at AlliantEnergy.com/poweringbeyond.
The countdown to saving design at Clary Building Corp. Get the best prices of the year right now at any Clary location, or contact us for a free consultation on the building you have been dreaming about. Clary has a building for every stage of your life. Visit ClaryBuilding.com today to see all of the amazing building options we offer. Don't let the clock run out for big savings.
Hey, Badger fans, you want your family to be warm and comfortable during the brutal Wisconsin winters, right? That's why it's good to know the knowledgeable, friendly dealers at Bryant Heating and Cooling, who will do whatever it takes to keep your furnace running efficiently, no matter what the weather throws at you. Plus, score up to $2,600 in tax credits on qualifying Bryant systems, and ask about local rebates and financing for qualified buyers. Find your dealer at Bryant.com. That's Bryant.com, proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
The Kohl Center, Camp Randall, the Fieldhouse. This is where the magic happens, where the best players